This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
This podcast addresses various mental health challenges, including topics such as suicide, addiction, eating disorders, depression, and anxiety. These discussions may be triggering for some individuals. If you or someone you know is struggling, please seek support from a mental health professional or a trusted individual in your life. Remember, you are not alone and help is available. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to Mind Your Head. This week joining me in the studio is Christy. Through her relentless training and unwavering mindset, Christy breaks barriers and paves the way for women to feel comfortable and proud of their bodies. She won Miss Natural Olympia 2022 and is a two-time physique world champion. And I'm so stoked to have her in the studio today. Now let's get it. Welcome to Mind Your Head, Christy. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, just for the listeners, Christy and I met at the gym. Muscle Heart here on the sunny coast. I thought I'd give it a good little shout out. And what I noticed immediately was your dedication. And not only were you what seemed to be always at the gym, but your transformation of your physique. I work away in the mines, so I come back every week. And you probably don't notice it as much as me. But every time I'd come back, if you're doing like a bulking season, you'd get just the size you put on. And then if you're cutting, you'll just get so lean. And I really, really admired that mentality because it takes so much dedication and sacrifice to get where you are. And most people wouldn't understand that, especially you know, being a mother and a wife. But can you take me back to where this journey began for you? And I guess, was exercise always a staple in your life growing up?
Yeah, it definitely was. I grew up in the country in New South Wales, and my parents always tried to get us into sport as a kids. So, like, my brothers played rugby and all sorts with school. I played soccer. I did sailing at quite a big level, like a top level, like skiffs on the water. Yeah, soccer. And then dancing was probably my one that I took through. So did a tiny bit of ballet when I was really little, like 5, 6 years old. And then I got into ballroom dancing in Latin America, and I did that from age about 6, 7, right through to 20-something.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Podcast finished. But I'd never lifted weights. I've never been in the gym. I had never been in the gym. And so, yeah, after I got married, had kids, and then obviously have the baby weight, so I seen a PT just here on the coast, and he was doing some box exercise in the park, and I just went up to him and said, like, can anyone do this? Like, never boxed before, but looks like fun.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah. And that's how I lost the baby weight afterwards. I just did box exercise with him one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Then got into his boot camps, and he sort of said, like, Christy, you're hardly doing anything. Your body's changing so much, and you're putting on so much muscle. And I was like, yeah, I know, like, that's the problem. I do put on a lot of muscle.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, right. So that was something that, like, I danced, and I danced at quite a high level, but I could never get to the top. And I think it was because I was actually too muscular. For, like, dancing there, like, at Slender and that sort of thing. So
you had no trouble putting on muscle?
No. So I seen it as a negative.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, come to our strength classes, come lift weights. And I was like, yeah, no. No thanks. I'm going to get bulky. He's like, no, chicks don't get bulky, which is the normal, like this. I was like, no, trust me, I'll put on muscle. And anyway, he finally got me, convinced me to go to a strength class and lift some weights, and that was it. I was like, okay, this is really fun.
You're hooked.
Yeah, yeah. One class. So then I did a little bit of that, and then, long story short, someone I know who trains at Muscle Heart, she said one day, like, your body's changing so much and, you know, you're only doing a little bit.
Yeah.
You should actually get into the gym and train properly, and, like, maybe you could get on stage. So then she introduced me to Muscle Heart, and then that was it. Yeah.
So how did your mindset change from sort of not wanting to put on muscle and that sort of stereotype to?
I think because I enjoyed lifting weights so much, I was like, whatever happens, happens. And I just loved, lifting weights and how I felt afterwards. So I sort of forgot about the fact that my body was changing, and my focus was lifting and getting fit and healthy. And then when I got into Muscle Hut and seen, you know, the, and started to see like the bodybuilding and
the culture
whatever,
and stuff, yeah, yeah.
I was like, hey, on, like, this is me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can change my body. And then thought, well, I've got it, so why don't I see what I can do? And then just embrace it from there.
And the sort of gym training for me is something that I use to, I guess, clear my head, and it calms me and relaxes me.
Yeah.
How does training impact your mental health?
First off, I got into lose the baby weight, got fit and healthy after we had kids. And then we went through a bit of a hard time a few years ago, and it was around before COVID. And my husband's dad was really ill and from cancer, and he passed, but leading up to him leaving us was really hard. And, you know, with cancer, like, it's up and down. So, you know, he would, and he's Japanese, so his family are in Japan. And we went through about a year and a half of him going back and forth to Japan. And I was pregnant with, and went through a lot of the pregnancy by myself here because he was going back and forth, spending time with his family as his dad was sick. And I think at times like that, I had the two older boys and then I was pregnant with the younger one. And it's really hard, right? But you're a rock. Like, you just stay together and you're just holding the family together and, like, supporting him going back to his family. And I think when Dad passed and then when hubby came home, I just fell apart. So I'd been a rock for so long and I just fell apart. And I was going to the gym and my husband said to me, you know, the only time that you're Christy is when you come home from the gym.
Wow.
And he said, just go as much as you need to. If you need to go 2-3 times a day, just go. Like, it's saving you. Mm. Like, you come home as Christy, like our Christy. Mm. But otherwise, I was like, yeah, falling apart. So for me, that's the big thing, 100%, well, just like you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that ties in.
And you mentioned, like, you got to the gym and you sort of got immersed in the environment and the culture, especially at the Muscle Up with the bodybuilding. What motivated you to get on stage and also, like, take it as a lifestyle? Because bodybuilding is so different to any other sport that it's truly is a lifestyle, isn't it?
It is, 100%, yeah.
Because am I right? You got into it a bit later in life?
Yeah.
Am I right in that
saying? Well, I've only been competing for 3 and a bit years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I'm 40 this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely later in life. You know what? I don't think I realised what I was getting into.
Didn't you? You're so green behind the ears that you're just going with it. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, let's get on stage. Let's see. I went to Muscle Hut and Scott, who's the owner there and the coach there, I said to him, you know, do you reckon I can get on stage? And he's like, yeah, you know, probably build for about 12 months and then we cut for about 6 months. So maybe in a year and a half from now, we can put you on and see how you go. I think I was training with him for about 3 months and he goes, yep, cool. I'm going to put you in stage in about 3 months' time. And I went, hang on a second, that's a little bit quicker than we expected. But the body changed and I loved training, so I trained really hard, like you see. And I think the challenge physically and mentally is what got me hooked.
Yeah, yeah. And talk me through that moment of deciding, like, yep, I want to give this a proper good crack. What was your mindset at that time and what changes did you have to make to your current lifestyle at that point? Like, how much of a change was it?
Like, bodybuilding is a game of, yes, definitely hard work in the gym, your food, your recovery, but it's a genetic game as well. And I didn't know I had the genetics for it until really I competed. I'm sure coach seeing that straight away, he's like, oh, hang on a second.
What genetics?
What genetics? Yeah. I think...
What are you naturally gifted at?
I think, like, because you're judged on, you know, shape of your body and the balance.
Yeah,
symmetry and that sort of thing. Yeah. And being able to build muscle and, I guess, the structure of the body, the structure of the muscle, how your body holds the muscle. Until I competed the first time, I didn't realize maybe how far I could go with it. And then I did well in my first season and then backed it up with the next season and went pro, won the pro shows, Australian champion. And then I was like, well, hang on a second, like, how far can I take this? And I had a chat with hubby and he sort of said, like, you're good at this. And he said, you know what, if you're going to do it, just go all in.
Yeah.
So he's my biggest supporter.
Yeah.
And even now he goes, just just give it everything.
See how far we can take it.
See how far we can go. Yeah, yeah. So,
what's your typical daily routine like? Let's just say in a bulking phase.
Like now.
Like now. I would love to know. Like, is it eating every 2 hours? Is it?
On my big training days, I will eat nearly 6,000 calories.
Wow.
So that's all just getting slashed as we speak.
Yeah.
I'll go into a cutting phase from now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Phew. And I was a little bit nervous about it starting with them. Man, I'm so relieved that that's starting now.
Because you just had to force the food in. Didn't
you? Yeah, absolutely. So say a day in the life of a 6,000 calorie little girl.
Yeah, run me through it.
Through it. So as you know, I'm a wife and I've got 3 children as well.
Mm.
So morning is getting the boys off to school. But I will get up before them and shove down maybe 200 grams of oats and protein powder, about 200 grams of berries and 50 to 60 grams of honey. So that's over 1,000 calories in one bowl.
Meal.
So I shove down that first. If I don't get that down early enough, I can't get the food in. Throughout the day.
Throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah, you just don't have time.
Yeah.
Like as you just said, you're eating every 2 hours. So if you don't get that meal in and start the process.
Yeah, it stuffs everything up.
Mm. Like you just can't get it in. And there's been days that I just haven't been able to get it in, and you're sitting at night time at 10 o'clock at night and you're regurgitating as you're eating that last meal. Oh, like you've got to get it in.
You've got no choice. You can't skip a meal.
No, so you could end up in there, you know, at night time and you've still got 2 meals to get in. You're like, oh no. All right. And you know, you get it in, and that's a mental game in itself.
Yeah.
Like being able to force feed yourself while you're feeling sick and you're so full.
And that's the thing, like people see like the glitz and the glamour of the posing on stage under the bright lights, and they see their finished product, and I think people forget all the sacrifice, all the effort that goes in weeks and months and even years before that. How long is a posing session on stage? Like a couple
you know
of minutes?
What? I laugh about that because I competed, as you know, at Natural Olympia in Vegas, and a few months before that in Italy at the World Championships year before last. And I literally went over there, over the other side of the world. I was on stage for about 30 seconds.
Is that like, how long it is?
We did one round and then went off, and I was like, are you serious? Like I've traveled all this way.
Yeah.
You know, but if they know who's going to win, that's it. They only need to see you once and then you're off.
Oh, right.
So they're just
they've seen enough.
Yep. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, boom, done, off.
That's crazy that you train all that time for 30 seconds.
Yeah. This time I'm going on stage in September this year. And it'll be nearly 2 years between.
Oh, the last time.
From the last time.
Yeah.
Yes, it'll be nearly 2 years between stage and stage. And, man, like you could write a book about what you've done in that 2 years.
And even, like, give people a bit of perspective, because we spoke about it. I think you mentioned it at the gym a couple of weeks ago, this your body transformation. And so how much weight do you put on, and then how much weight do you lose for the...
You know, that really varies from person to person.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I have really, really pushed hard getting my food up to put on weight. I haven't been scared of putting on body fat. That's another whole issue in itself. I'm not scared of the scale. The numbers don't bother me whatsoever. So I just pushed as much food in as I possibly can, and then pushed as much weight as I possibly could in the gym to try and get big and put on size. I'm up tens of kilos from stage, nearly 30 kilos up from stage.
Wow.
But on stage, I got very lean, and on skin folds, I was probably sitting about 4.5% body fat.
Wow.
So I'll start cutting this week, and I could get up to 20 kilos off.
I'd love to know if you could describe the feeling and the experience of during your first competition, getting up on stage for the first time. What was it like? Did you get nervous?
Oh, you know what? I'm already nervous about next time I get on stage.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
Good nerves? I get so nervous. I guess it's good nerves. Like, I want to do it. So I guess you would say it's good nerves.
Mm.
And the funny thing is that I danced for so long.
Mm.
So stage shouldn't be...
Too daunting.
Too daunting for me. Mm. But everyone thinks it's hilarious I go completely silent backstage. And, you know, you dolled up, like you've got your hair done, your tans done, you've got your makeup done, you've got this beautiful bikini on, your heels on, sparkles, bedazzles, and there's me. I'm like a fighter. I'm like...
And go into a boxing ring. Yeah, yeah.
And I pace. Like, I pace and I look angry because I'm just so nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, is she okay? And the coach is like, don't worry, she'll be fine. And then I don't know what it is. It's almost like I'm lifting weights on the side of the stage and I take this massive breath and I'm just like, all right. And then the smile comes on and she's calm and then the nerves go.
Oh, do they? Straight away.
Yeah, straight away. And I'm backstage and
you're nervous, right?
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
So terrible.
What competitions or what category of bodybuilding do you compete in?
Women's physique.
Women's physique, yep. Is it? You won Miss Natural Olympia, is that right?
Yeah. So year before last, I won the World Championships in Italy. Mm-hmm. And then 16 weeks later, I went to Vegas and won the Natural Olympia.
So you've had two wins.
That's two big wins.
Two big wins in your first, like, 3 years of doing this.
Yeah.
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 Is that wild to think about?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's people who've trained for years and years and years, and then you've come on and gone.
And they're like.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, I've definitely had that. You know, you have it in all sports. If someone just comes from nowhere and wipes the floor, they're like, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah, they'll be a little bit off at it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. Rightly so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you work so hard. So I had a conversation, change subject a little bit. I had a conversation with one of the girls the other day in the gym. And, you know, man, I'm so open.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Anyone can ask me anything and I'm super open. And she goes, oh, like, don't you get, like, really nervous about, like, who you're competing with and that you won't win because you've won so many, like, that pressure? What do you feel like that? And I was like, you know what, like, I work so hard and there's nothing that I don't do. You know, so I cross all the T's, dot all the I's. Like, I try and go above and beyond everything. Like, I do extras everything. Like, even coaches like, slow down. Like, I'm like, no, I'm chasing every 1%. You know, I'm all in. Hubby said go all in. So I chase every 1%. And she was like, yeah, but, like, you're so good. But what if someone pips you at the end? Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Someone pips me at the end, high fucking five to them because I know how hard they've worked.
Yeah.
Because I've worked my ass off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if they come out with a better physique and, you know, better posing or whatever it may be.
Respect.
Absolute respect.
And obviously winning is, I guess, a major component of what drives you. But how do you maintain a strong sense of identity and self-worth even if you lose or don't win? I think you just touched on it before.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah, as part of it is... Because you know what you've...
Work you've done.
But you don't link your sort of identity or anything to winning.
You know what? The stage is definitely the goal. Winning is definitely a goal. Building a business off the back end of it is definitely a goal.
Mm.
But I don't think about the stage much.
Oh, okay.
I'm obsessed with every day in the gym.
Mm.
And I think you see that. Yes. Like, you see the crazy eyes come out.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I roll my head at you and go,
what is she doing?
Yeah.
And I think that's what drives me.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. I love that. And I mentioned before that bodybuilding is like no other sport in so many ways. And the thing that because I come from sort of a rugby background, so how you win is you sort of score more points than the opposition or, you know, that's how you kind of win.
Yeah.
But this is decided by someone's opinion of you.
Yeah.
And whether someone likes your body or not, is it tough to accept that no matter how hard you work, the judge or judges may not like your physique as much as someone else's?
I think a lot of people struggle with this.
Oh, do they?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I guess I've switched off to that a little bit in the fact that I can't change someone's opinion.
Mm.
Like, I can't change what they see or what they like, or I guess it's like that in life generally. But it is definitely a hard sport in the fact that you are judged on your appearance. And I find it fascinating and a mental challenge to switch off the fact that I'm being judged on my body, and I try and see myself as not my body but as a piece of art that I've created. And if I don't separate that, then of course the emotions are going to come in and, yeah, maybe I'm going to feel attacked if they don't like my physique. So if I don't win, I get feedback. I find out what was lacking or what was lagging or what I can build on and whatever, and then I get back to making my sculpture.
And it's like that old saying that we grew up on, that you don't judge a book by its cover, but yeah, you're literally doing a job where
you're judged by your cover.
You're judged exactly yeah, how you look.
Yeah.
And I get from your view that you're very sort of certain about who you are as a person, but do you see other competitors or maybe other people that you know sort of struggle with body image stuff?
A lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like what I just explained, I really try and take the emotion out of when I'm on stage, because it is your physical body, and we are taught not to judge someone on their appearance, you know, and not to prod on people's appearance or anything like that. And then I'm literally putting myself out there half naked on stage to be judged. You know, it's crazy. But a lot of girls and guys really struggle with that body image. And as bodybuilders, we suffer from the most stupid body dysmorphia. It's crazy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here at nearly 90 kilos of muscle. And I'm like, look in the mirror and I see a stick figure. You know?
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm not big enough.
Is that
your face? You're like, are you nuts? But we are. I like it. But I think that comes with the job. So you really have to be aware of that. Yeah, and that's why I like talking about it too. Like, and being open with the girls and the guys in the gym who also compete. Say, like, you have to be aware of this, that what you see is not what everyone else sees.
Yeah. It's like that pursuit for like the perfect, I guess, physical body, but also maintaining a healthy body image. It's sort of like contradicts itself sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think with bodybuilding, you know, you go such extremes. Like when you're on stage, I was saying, it's nearly 4.5% body fat. I'm like, it's stupid.
It's almost unhealthy.
No, it's not almost it is unhealthy.
Is it? Yeah.
Totally. Like, yeah, you cannot stay like that. You know?
So when you get off stage, do you just...
As per plan, you slowly bring yourself out of it.
Oh, right.
So you slowly put on body fat.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen like the whole thing of, you know, a lot of guys and girls post-comp just blow out. And that is because they don't have the control afterwards. Like, it's actually unexplainable, but when you're post-comp, like you've got yourself, you're so hungry when you're going into comp, like getting all that body fat off. And we can cut for like nearly 6 months. So you're slowly getting off and starving. You're not starving yourself, but, you know, you're hungry the whole time. Yeah. It's okay while you've got that goal. You can strive for it. Yeah. But then once the goal's gone, you go into this, like, lost. Like, you feel lost.
Oh,
it's like,
dude,
well, what's next? Like, what do I do? You know, and then the hunger and everything is so strong and overpowering because you don't have that goal to hold on to. A lot of people lose that control and then it's just like,
And that's what you mentioned before, is like people think bodybuilding or just going to the gym is such a physical thing, but I think you mentioned before that it's so much more mental than anything.
I feel like the whole thing is mental.
Is it? Yeah.
You know, if you've got a grasp on the mental and you're so strong mentally, the body will follow. So the first season that I competed, I was like, yeah, body, body, body. And then after the first season, I was like, this has all to do with your body, but actually nothing to do with your body. This is a mental game. Like, who's the strongest mentally?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when I was like, all right, I've got to get this strong. Like, this has to be strong. Like, I need to be able to so strong that I've pushed through pain in training, so strong that I pushed through hunger, through the, you know, so strong that I pushed through wanting to vomit while I'm eating that last meal while I'm bulking.
How do you do it? What do you tell yourself?
I don't know. I think that's something that you slowly work on. And there's a psychologist at the gym, and she's like, I would love to tap into your brain. Like, how are you doing this? And I was like, I'd love you to tap into this brain because I want to share it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, even at the gym, like, you've seen me train, I push through so much pain. And they're like, doesn't that hurt? I'm like, nope. I just think I've switched it off. But that wasn't like that at the start. I was like, I've got to get this so strong. Like, and the stronger I can get this, the more the body will change, because the more I can push in every realm: food, recovery, sleep, training, everything.
Because it feels like it's nonstop. Like, you can't switch off.
At this level, no. it's everything. You know, if I have a bad sleep, it's going to affect the next 3 days.
Oh, wow. What's it like? What's it like backstage with the other competitors? Is it really competitive between you guys?
I think it can be, but I, like I said before, I very much switch off backstage. Like,
I don't talk to anyone.
I don't talk to anyone. Even coaches, like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
I'm very much, I don't like drama. I don't like gossip. I don't like anything like that. So I very much remove myself from anything that has that negative energy. So I have heard that it can be quite like, oh, look at her, like that sort of
thing. Yeah.
Backstage. And
but you just remove yourself completely.
Yeah, just completely switch off to it.
And sometimes, like, when I, you know, when I've come back, say, from night shift or something, and I'm buggered, I'm in there. And then sometimes I'm in there in the mornings and you're in there. And then sometimes I've had shit going on in the morning, so I go there in the afternoon and you're still in there. And I'm just thinking, I don't know how the hell you keep turning up every day, every single day for hours, and even eating like the meals at the right times, and then making sure your recovery and everything's on point. And then have you ever experienced like burnout or anything like that? And how do you stay, I guess, mentally and emotionally motivated and disciplined?
Yeah, that's a good one. Burnout, yes, definitely. I train a lot.
Yeah.
And I know. You're like, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah. And you know what? If a lot of other coaches and athletes seen what I did, they would just be gobsmacked, I think. They would say I was definitely overtraining and not recovering enough. And that's why I'm so adamant about my recovery, my food, my nutrients and everything, to try and optimize on anything possible so that I can push the training more. Sometimes when you see me in the evening, I've already trained in the morning. Eat. Train, go home, sleep.
Oh, you have a little midday nap, do you? Yeah.
Okay. Sleep, go and get the boys, get them sorted, whatever, make sure dinner's whatever, go eat, go back to the gym, train again. So I feel like I convince myself I've got 2 days in one.
Yeah, right.
And I try and make sure that recovery is enough to support that. But yes, every now and again I'm like, I'm fucked.
I can't be fucked doing this. But you still got to do it.
It's not the mindset of I can't be fucked doing this. It's I'm like, I'm worn out.
Oh, right.
Like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And it's very few and far between, but I will take a day's rest.
Oh, you will?
An extra day.
Yeah.
If I really feel like that.
Mm.
So that's something, another mental challenge, when you're so focused on such a big goal, taking a rest day is really hard.
It would feel like,
so hard. It's like, am I just being lazy? Like, am I slack, or do I really?
Do you get a lot of head noise? Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I think fighting that and overcoming that is yet another mental challenge.
Yeah.
And I think that's what excites me: all the mental challenges that you and obstacles that you face along the way.
That might put a lot of people off it. You embrace it.
I think it puts a lot of people off. Mm. Yeah. If that spirals negatively, it could be pretty detrimental to your mental health, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And especially being, a female bodybuilder, are you faced with different challenges in terms of, like, your hormones when you're sort of putting on weight or when you're cutting? You said you'll get down to 4% body fat. Does that impact females more than, sort of, I guess, men?
Yeah.
In different ways.
It definitely can.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a menstrual cycle, so... Mm. A lot of females, when they get under around 10 to 12% body fat, they'll lose their menstrual cycle.
Is that right?
Because the body, that's something like, so we're made to reproduce, right? So the body, that's the first thing. Like, if you are starting to go in a state where the body doesn't have a lot of reserves, that's the first thing it's going to shut off. So you're not in the state to reproduce. The body's fascinating, right? It's pretty cool, really. Like, the body goes, okay, you're going into a state now that, you know, you don't have that extra reserve. So let's stop that so that, one, you don't expend that energy, but two, you're not in a state to reproduce. I never lost my menstrual cycle, which is just, it's actually pretty crazy.
Even down to 4%.
So I've been on stage bleeding. Which is just nuts. Like, everyone's like, no, that's not possible. I'm like, yeah, trust me, it is.
Far out.
Why? I don't know. Is it because my food didn't get really, really low,
yeah.
even though I was a low body fat?
Mm.
Is it because I was very careful with my nutrition, micronutrients, what I was fueling my body with, recovery? Maybe.
Mm. What was it like winning your first competition?
Very first competition was here on the Sunshine Coast,
mm.
in front of family, and that, yeah, it was cool.
Was it? Yeah.
I think I was so nervous beforehand that, you know, like big days like birthdays, weddings and stuff like that, and you just get so worked up to it and then you sort of don't really remember it.
even though
it was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a bit like that. Like, I do remember it, but probably not as vivid as I'd like to.
Yeah. And you've said you've sort of gone on and you've won some major things, and now I think we spoke a little bit at the gym before that sort of you've gone from the hunter to the hunted.
Yeah.
In some way, people know who you are.
Yeah.
Has that changed your mindset around training, or did you feel any pressure or expectation? I know what the girl said to you at the gym, saying, do you feel like any pressure to sort of win? I guess it's always better being the underdog. When someone doesn't know who you are, I guess it's always...
Yeah, come out of nowhere.
You come out of nowhere, but now like... Cool, yeah, so cool. Yeah. But now that people know who you are and know what you're bringing, I guess. Well, I think they know what you're bringing.
Yeah. I guess they do have an indication, you know, and on social media you can see a lot.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
Like they've seen all my stage photos from last time or whatever. But having 2 years off and a big build, which I'd never done before, hopefully we bring something totally different.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm banking on that.
Yeah, but you don't feel any pressure or anything, or living up to any expectations or anything like that?
No, not really. I'm going into a different federation now. But they still know me and can see. And I haven't really announced that I'm going into that and doing that. Even a few people know, but so I am trying to stay quiet.
Yeah,
and
cool. sort of under the radar a little bit.
Hello, I'm here. Shit.
I think that's hard for you to do.
I'm pretty quiet.
I know, but your body speaks for itself.
I'm only little.
No, you're not. I'm little. Yeah, I've listened to a lot of champions in different sports, and they get asked what the feeling was like when they won the championship, or when they came first, or what, if they won a gold medal. And almost all of them said the same thing. They feel relieved that it's over and they've won. I guess the pressure of winning almost overshadowed the fact of winning and be able to feel present and grateful. You mentioned just then that, I guess, your first sort of competition, you don't remember it. How have you managed to sort of balance those two worlds of like desire to win and continue to be better, but also the requirement to be grateful and enjoy the moment? Has it got easier as you've gone on, or have you focused more on it?
Yes, yeah. Definitely getting easier. And if you continue to set your bar higher, I think that makes it easier as well.
Mm.
You know, you're not going, at the moment, I haven't gone back to chase a win that I've already got. Does that make sense? So like I'm now going, I've set the bar even higher. So every time I come back, I'm like, right, next we go here.
Yeah.
Next we go here.
Something you haven't done or achieved.
Yeah. So I think that definitely makes it easier because I know that I'm going to another level and I'm sort of starting again.
Mm. Yeah. Is that what it feels like? Yeah.
So right now that's what it feels like. Oh, yes, I've achieved that, but now I've set the bar so high that I literally feel like I'm starting at the bottom again. So it's like, right, let's chase.
Yeah. Nice. How do you deal with sort of the societal stereotypes and judgments about female bodybuilders and
about being big and bulky,
deviating from the gender norms?
My husband's really, really. I said he's my rock, and he's really in the background. He never doesn't go to the gym. He doesn't work out, and it's like a perfect balance for us. So I am so obsessed and 100% in, like, that lifestyle is totally to that. We've dedicated everything. We're investing a lot. And I'm going all in, right? And on the other side, I have this beautiful little family at home. It's like a little calm, cultural, because he's Japanese. But every now and again, you know, on social media, I might get attacked or something like that, you know, negative comments or whatever. Yeah. And it used to bother me, people that I know of in the industry or just even random people, you know, the way you look like a man or blah, 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 that sort of thing. And yeah, it did. For a little bit there, it bothered me. And hubby and I were super open with communication, really good communication. And I would show him and he's like, cool, get used to it.
All right.
I was like, whoa, okay. And he goes, because the higher you go, the smaller your circle's going to get and the more people are going to try and bring you down. Mm. So level up. Once again, level up. It's like, okay, thanks for the support. But he's right.
It's brutal, but it's true, isn't it?
It's like, brutal, yeah, but it's true. And yeah, he's super calm. He's like, Christy, sit down, I've got to chat. I'm like, oh, no, here we go. You know, and but he's – and that's few and far between. But I know when we sit down and have a chat like that, he's got something important to say.
Mm.
And he usually pulls me into line and gives me a good grounding of where to go next. And he was. He's like, yeah, you know – the bigger you get, the more muscular you get, the more wins you're going to have, the more people are going to try and bring you down in some way. So get used to it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And you've got to just go, yep, keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brush it off.
Yeah. To start off with, yeah, it did bother me. Now I just laugh. And I think I'm just totally focused on where I'm going and what I'm doing that I don't even see it anymore. Like, you know, hubby's 15 kilos lighter than me and we've got three kids and we're a different family anyway. Like you don't often see an Asian guy with a white girl either.
Mm.
So we're a different family anyway. And if we're all together, you know, the boys and hubby laugh at how much I get looked at, but I don't even see it anymore. Like I'm completely oblivious.
And I've always been a big advocator for that excuse that you don't have enough time, you know.
Yeah, that's a shit excuse.
You know, to me, it's like you may as well just say, like, it's not important to me or it's not a priority.
Yeah.
However, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky enough to have a job where I only work 5 months of the year. I guess my opinion on the matter doesn't carry much weight because I have no idea how hard it is to keep training and keep going to the gym and keep that routine when you've got a family. And I don't have any of those sort of stresses. How have you managed to find time and even to not have any excuse not to go to the gym?
One, I think it's impossible. I think balance is impossible. Like at this level, like when you give everything to something and you really want to go to a high level, in anything it lies, you know, if you want to build a business, if you want to be the best at something, anything, you have to give above and beyond, right? And that means that sacrifices are going to come.
Something's going to come as a cost.
Something's going to come at its cost. Mm. I just don't think it's possible to do everything. And yes, things come at a cost even with everything that I'm doing. There's some times that I can't spend time with the kids, you know. When I'm prepping, I eat out of a plastic container all day, every day, for however long it may be. And there was a time there that my kids would say to me, Mummy, when are you going to have dinner with us? And I'm like, fuck, I'm sorry.
Mm.
You know, it comes at a cost, you know, but I'm lucky enough to have my husband supports me so much that he explains to the kids that this is Mummy's job and she's giving everything to it. So this is what we have. We're going to support this. Mm. And the kids do. But they say, when you get back from comp, can we just sit down and have dinner on the same plate? And you're like, that fucking breaks my heart.
It would, yeah.
It totally breaks your heart because they just want the simple things. Mm. So when you say, like, how do you balance everything? I don't.
Mm.
I just don't think it's possible. So, yeah, you have to sacrifice and make sacrifices, but if you're totally open with the people involved in that sacrifice, then I think they will support it.
Mm.
If the communication is not open, that's when troubles arise.
And you mentioned they're having that strong support system and people, you know, surrounding yourself with people that are going to push you and challenge you is crucial for, I guess, success. And you mentioned obviously your husband and your kids are supporting you so well. But what are some key people at the gym that you sort of surround yourself with? I was
going to say the next would be the gym.
Yeah, because so it's always got to push yourself at the gym.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. And I'm pretty self-motivated. I love my training. I love pushing hard. I'm not scared of it being painful or anything like that.
You train with the three biggest guys at the gym.
Shh. That's my secret weapon. No. You know, even that, like I was going to touch on that too. So in that gym, like at Muscle Heart, there's such a great community. And a lot of them, even though I have not actually said, this is the comp I'm going to and this is where I want to go and this is my goal, they can see it.
Mm.
They see that I'm striving for something bigger. And the support I get in there is actually pretty priceless. Like, there's nothing really that you can say to explain it, you know. It wouldn't take long. Like, I know if I went in there now and sat on one of the machines and just went, within 30 seconds I'd have someone going, hey, Christy, keep going. And it's not always like and with me it's usually tough love. They're like, come on, Christy, you want it, right? I'm like, yeah, I do. It
you need
every,
it too.
Every day. Yeah. Like, seriously, every day. And now, because I've just embraced a bulk, like, I don't think many females do. You know, and the people in the gym, I'm in there every day, so they've watched me every day. Work my ass off, put on the weight, you know, put on body fat. And now they're going to witness it all come off. Without a doubt, no exaggeration, every single day someone will come up to me and go, Christy, we're so excited.
Yeah.
We are so excited to watch this go down. You know, and that in itself gives me a bit of fuel on the fire. You know, having that support.
Because with anything, it's like people, you need people around you to keep pushing you.
Yeah.
It's so crucial to have that support system.
I don't think you could do it without it.
No, you can't, can you?
No, it's not possible.
No. What advice would you give someone who's interested in competitive bodybuilding, especially women?
You know what? I think you have to do it for the right reason. If you were doing it, which you see a lot in bodybuilding, I'm sure a lot of coaches would agree with me, a lot of, let's just say, girls get into bodybuilding for the wrong reason, and they may be using it as a band-aid to cover up an issue that they haven't dealt with. The focus goes on to bodybuilding, so while they're doing it and they get into comp and go through with comp, they feel good, they're focused, and then after comp, whatever they haven't dealt with comes up to bite them on the ass, and it comes up bifold because they've pushed their body so hard, they're hungry, you know, they're lean, their hormones are all out of whack. So I say make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Do it because you want to do it. Do it because you want the challenge, or, you know, you want to push hard and see where far you can go. But make sure it's for you, not for someone else. Or not for someone else saying, oh, you'd be good at this, give it a go. I'm always, and the people in the gym, I'm always like, do you want to do it? You know, only do what you want to do. So the prime example for that I often use is I lift heavy. Like, I'm strong, you know, and there's some powerlifting records that I'm repping.
Are you?
Yeah. But I don't really have the desire to powerlift.
Have they asked you, you should get into
over
this?
And over and over again. But I, like, at the moment, yeah, maybe one day I'll do it. But at the moment, that's not my goal. So even though, yeah, I could, and this is the example I use for a lot of girls in the gym, and like when I'm saying, make sure you're doing what you want to do, not what someone else wants you to do, not what you think you should do, not so that makes someone else happy, because you never have going to have a genuine smile on the other end of it if you're doing it that way. And so, like with the powerlifting, like, yeah, maybe one day I'll do it in my own time when I want to do it. But at the moment, that's not my goal, so that I know that if I was to do it now, even if I was to win, the trophy would be like, yeah, cool, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no
fulfillment. There's no
fulfillment because I didn't really want to do it. So that's definitely something that I push a lot with the girls. Make sure you're doing what you want to do for the right reasons.
What's the most valuable lesson that you've learned from your bodybuilding journey that has impacted your life beyond the gym?
I think there's a lot. Wow, there's so many. You're going to hit struggles. You're going to hit obstacles. And in any area of life. And my biggest one is trying to stay calm. Like, calm through everything. And yeah, I have my moments. Like, you know, if I'm super stressed or something and emotional, whatever. But straight away I'm thinking, I've got to stay calm. Because if I'm not calm, I'm not going to make the right decisions. And I'm not going to move forward. And if I'm not calm and not moving forward, the only person that's hurting is me. So I try and take that even into my home life as well. Like, we love to stay calm at home. And our boys are really calm. Like, we often get people say, like, how are your boys so calm? I say, I think it's because we're calm.
I've heard that. Calm parents equal calm kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though we have three boys, you'd think it'd be pretty wild. Mm. It's actually not. We're pretty calm. Touchwood.
They're probably scared of mum.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. You know what? The other day, my eldest boy goes, hey, mum, do you think I'm intimidating? And I was like, no. Why? And he goes, because you are. And I was like, I am not. He goes, my friends think you're intimidating. I was like, I'm super nice. He's like, I know, but you look scary.
Oh, that's hilarious. Do you think bodybuilding has empowered you as a woman?
Definitely.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably goes back to people judging you on the way you look. Mm. You know, learning to be secure in your body, no matter how you look, is really hard.
It is, especially today, society, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, you put one photo up and boom, boom, boom. I think especially this last 12 months, bulking has really changed me in the way that I'm secure in myself. But it's done on purpose. So that makes a difference as well. Like, I haven't just let myself go and get fat and unhealthy. I have purposely put on weight and put on body fat and changed my structure. You know, if I was to wear everything big and baggy, I probably wouldn't look that muscly and look like I was a bit on the chubby side. Mm. But it doesn't bother me. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, it's all for a purpose.
Because it's for a purpose. It's for my goal. Mm. But it has definitely taught me to accept my body and my shape as a woman. And I think a lot of females find that so, so difficult. And to do something that's not really accepted as a woman, like to get big, to chuck on muscle, to get bulky and pose muscly is not very feminine. Mm. And I'm totally fine with that. Whereas I think in my younger days, there's no way I would have done it. I wouldn't have been secure and confident and content in myself enough to be able to push myself out there and do that.
How have you defined success in bodybuilding? What's
my ultimate goal is not to win. Of course I want to win. Mm. But, you know, the goal is to build a beautiful business and change the lives of so many that are part of the business and my family as well. So I'm using bodybuilding as a tool to get there.
What's your business?
I coach.
Yeah.
As well. So I've got background in business, in nutrition.
Yeah.
And then obviously PT and coaching. And yeah, so I want to build that.
So what, moving forward, you got a comp on September?
September, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's that for?
So I will compete here in Australia first and then I will head over to England and I'll compete in London.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many more years you got left?
That's an interesting one. So a lot of people go, oh my gosh, you couldn't do this forever. And I was like, no way.
No.
I love it. Like, yeah. I'm obsessed with it. I love lifting weights. I love pushing. I love pushing the body, seeing what the body can do. I love challenging myself mentally. But that's a lot of stress on the body. Mm. You know, I'm only a little person. And right now I'm carrying a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I'm not made to carry that weight. Mm. Like any athlete, like any business person, you push beyond what's the limit or what's the normal to be successful, right? So I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, I'm pushing limits. But I don't want to do this forever. Mm. I also want to be healthy forever, live a long life, be a wife and a mum for a long time. So I feel like any athlete, you have to put a retirement date on that. Mm. I think another maybe 4 years of going ass to grass.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that'll be it. Yeah.
What does life look like after that? Will I still see you in the...
I will. I think I love lifting so much, I'll always lift.
Yeah, okay.
Stay healthy, stay strong. Like, I love it. I'll do that forever. Mm. But pushing the way that I push now, I don't think it's healthy to do it forever.
No.
You know, but any top athlete, isn't that the same?
Mm. 100%.
Yeah.
You need to.
So,
need
but
to
I that. Think the stigma around bodybuilding is a bit different to other athletes.
Mm. What lessons do you hope your children will learn from you?
I think definitely to be successful, you have to work your ass off. And I'm definitely instilling that in my kids, 100%. I don't hide anything from them. I show them how hard I'm working at it They see me in the gym. They see me shoving down food. They see me hungry. And I think it's important, like I was saying about that communication, that open communication, they see how I feel and I'm not scared to show them.
So you, not only do you have that open communication with your partner, but you have it with your children too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm hungry, I tell them I'm hungry. They're like, well, eat. And I'm like, no, but this is my goal, so I can't. Mm. And this is what I have to do to get there. On that, like with food, telling your children that you're purposely not eating, that's another whole other issue in itself. Yeah. Like, you don't want to teach them.
That's another conversation, isn't it,
to have? Yeah, that's a huge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to teach them or instill unhealthy eating habits on them either. Mm. So this is where it's so hard. And I'm so lucky that I have this balance of hubby keeping that balance at home, showing them what normality is.
Do you ever
and that mummy's extreme.
Yeah.
And she's crazy.
She's an exception.
Yeah.
I did a cleanse. I have some gut issues and I did a cleanse, and then after the cleanse I was on a strict sort of diet for 4 weeks. And obviously nothing compared to sort of the diets that you go through. But after the diet ended for the 4 weeks, I noticed how good my body felt. And I started to like feel a bit sort of guilty and a bit of shame when I go back to those foods that I used to eat.
Okay. Yep.
That I knew would make me feel bad, but I'm like, oh, they're so good.
Yep.
And for a little bit, I was like, when I would have them, I would feel guilty and a little bit of shame that I was having them.
Yeah.
Do you ever go through any of those stages?
Me personally, not really, but I see it a lot.
You do, yeah.
And I think this is where I'm a little bit crazy, because I don't crave anything else, but anything that makes me feel good.
Okay.
But I think it's because of the goal.
Mm.
So maybe this is another conversation for in 4 years' time when I retire and I have that flexibility and there's not that massive goal.
Mm. Feel that lost, that yeah.
But I see it all the time with people competing and, you know, they're on this strict diet and you eat so clean. Like you're eating chicken, rice, greens, you know, so clean. So they actually feel really, really good. You're fueling your body with exactly what it needs. And then they finish comp and then they lash out, right? They eat burgers and
chocolate
and
they feel
like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, why? I'm like, because you've eaten shit.
Yeah.
Like, eat, you feel shit. That's it in a nutshell. And they feel so guilty.
Mm.
And that's one of the roller coasters after comp that you see all the time, that food issues bring up, you know. Am I allowed to eat good food, bad food, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big talk at the moment as
Absolutely.
Well. But at the moment I think I'm so focused on where I want to go and what I want to do, even when I eat 6,000 calories, it's all clean. Like I have the flexibility to eat whatever the frick I want. Like it's 6,000 calories. I could go and eat Hungry Jack's if I want to, but I have absolutely no desire to, because I know it's going to make me feel shit. And if I feel shit, I'm not going to train well.
Yeah.
If I don't train well,
it's all going to stack up, isn't it?
It all stacks up. You know, if my digestive system's shitty, I'm not going to sleep well. If I don't sleep well, then I'm not going to train well. And it's an ongoing. So I know that I'm not even going to start that cycle.
It's always going to end badly.
It's going to end badly. Yeah.
What brings you the most joy and fulfillment?
In bodybuilding or just in life in general?
In life in general.
Definitely my kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
Spending time with them.
Yep. The more I bodybuild and the sacrifice I have to make to be successful, the more I crave even just watching the kids be happy.
Mm.
I think simple things, because you miss out on it. So then you know when you miss out on things, and then you go on a holiday and then you come back to Australia and you're like, far out, we live in a good country. It's a good example, right?
Yeah.
Everything you think, like we're on holiday every day here on the Sunshine Coast.
Mm.
But you don't realize until you leave. You know, so when you make the sacrifice, then you realize what you're missing out on.
Exactly.
And so definitely with hubby and kids, while I'm in prep and I comped back to back to back, so there was a couple of years there that I really wasn't present.
Mm.
So now, even just riding to school, like I have this little grin on my face, you know, riding with the kids to school, I'm like, far out, I'm lucky to be able to do this.
This is the best.
This is the best.
Yeah. What are your 3 non-negotiables for living a healthy and full life?
One is being calm. That's actually changed our family life and changed our life, is being calm, not getting angry. Open communication is huge.
Yeah.
Would
you do any meditation or any breathing, like breath work stuff? How do you?
I have done some. Yeah, that's, I mean, I could almost split that into my app, and I probably really do. Like, I see myself as two people. I see myself as home person and athlete.
Before stage and on stage.
This person is totally different to this person.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you see me at the gym.
Yes.
I'm not like this. No. But when we sit down and chat, yeah, we're like this. We're like even at the gym.
Yeah.
I think a good example of that is that I'm two different people. I had surgery on my shoulder last year, and the mobility in it was not great. And I posed a little while ago, and I was like, crap, my posing. Like, I'm not doing well. My mobility in my shoulders are not great. Mm. So I need to do something about this. And this is where I'm like, always, how can I go above and beyond? How can I go above and beyond? Anyway, so I started yoga. And I'd never done yoga before. Like, this doing yoga. I was like, oh, gosh. This. Anyway, so one of the guys that I train with, he introduced me to a yoga teacher, and I started doing yoga with her. But she has also seen me in the gym. So she only knows athlete Christy, right? The crazy, crazy-eyed, lifting heavy-ass weights, screaming, pushing hard. You know, she only knew that Christy. Anyway, so then I went to yoga and I was calm Christy. I was home Christy. And she's like, who are you?
Mm.
And she actually said to one of the boys, the training partner, she's like, I was gobsmacked. Like, Christy's so calm. She's spiritual. She's like,
yeah.
She's a totally different person. And Anthony was like, yeah, that's actually Christy all the time. Mm. You know, athlete Christy's just crazy Christy.
Yeah. Gym Christy is the beast. Yeah.
So, I do sort of at the moment see myself as two people. So I've been looking at a lot of athletes' mental health stuff at the moment, and they often talk about losing that identity. So I've often thought recently, like, how am I going to feel on the other end of this when this goes? Am I going to be satisfied with just this?
Channel it towards something else.
Yeah.
Because do you not want to lose that, Christy?
At the moment, I don't really think about it.
Yeah.
But I do like that crazy Christy too.
Yeah.
So is there something else that I can replace that with? Or I don't know. But when you say, like, you know, like success of life or whatever, I do at the moment see this. Like, I can give you examples of this Christy then home Christy too.
Yeah.
So I really see myself as different people.
So I've got a closing tradition of the podcast.
Yeah.
I get questions sent in from family and loved ones. They send in questions for the guest. So I try to get your husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he didn't reply to me.
Oh, he would have, yeah.
So I got Scott.
Oh, okay. Well.
I guess his was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek question.
Yeah, because sure it is.
He said, can you ask her why she's always so grumpy at me at the gym? Can you speak a little bit about that relationship with Scott? Because I know it's a very special relationship you guys.
Yeah,
it
definitely you guys have. Is.
Yeah,
definitely is. It's so funny. It's because he's an asshole. No,
he pushes
not.
You so much, doesn't he? Yeah.
You know what? Here we go, Scott. A lot of people talk about him to me that he doesn't see, and they're like, he pushes you so hard, like harder than anyone in there. And I think it's because I can take it, and I never back chat. I can never, with regard to training, I should clarify that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we spend a lot of time together, and I think a coach-athlete relationship is so important. And I know I challenge him. And because I'm very open, I love to be open communication, and I love to learn. So he's like, yep, do this. And I'm like, cool, why? It's like, just fucking do it. Just I'm like, nah, teach me why.
Yeah. I want to know.
You know, and I'm all about, if I know why, I am all in because I know why. Mm. I have the knowledge and I'm going to execute it 100%.
Mm.
I'm probably going to execute it 100% anyway.
Yeah.
But there's that little extra of, Ryan.
I'm doing this for this reason.
Doing this for this reason.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not grumpy with him. Maybe I am.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. But we do have a really special relationship, like, and so much respect for each other. We're both stubborn as fuck. So we do clash heads sometimes. But I also think that's a good thing as a coach and athlete, to have that and then work through and then...
Well, that opposite energies, isn't it? Sort of like push each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he travels with you, does he?
Most of the time if we go over comps, he travels. Hopefully this time to London, he can come to London as well. Mm. It's, you know, coach-athlete relationship is, I'm not going to say it's like a marriage, but it's pretty, like, you have to have a good relationship. Mm. You know, I challenge him, he challenges me too. Mm. But there's so much respect there. It's, and you know what? Don't listen. If he says jump, I jump. You know, because I do. And you invest in a coach for a reason.
You got to trust him.
You have to trust them. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong because they question it too much. If I question it, it's because I want to understand why and I want to grasp on that, fuel on the fire and push harder. I'm not questioning it to doubt it. No. Mm. Like, I know that man is going to get me absolutely fucking shredded for stage. I'll be in the best condition that I've ever been. I have no doubt in saying that.
I'm looking forward to it. I am. Every week I come back, I'll be like,
here she goes
again. Holy shit.
And you know what? Like, even yourself, like, you've pulled me up a couple of times and you've said, I come back from work and every time I'm like, holy shit. Like, hearing that support also fires me up. Yeah. It just fuels me so much.
Because I know that sometimes you probably won't notice.
You don't notice
the little, I guess they're not little changes, but the changes in general. And I'm like, she's probably walking around thinking that she's probably not changing at all. And I'm like, nah. Every week I get back, I'm like, what have I missed in
was
one
that
week?
Only 7 days.
But the change, in 7 days, it just is. It's mental. Yeah, it really is.
You know what I think with Scott? I'm so focused and I want it so bad that I do get emotional about my training and hitting everything 100%. So that's the grumpiness I think he gets. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, every rep, every set, everything I do, when I get a new plan, what I, you know, when we're changing things up, whatever. You know what? I am probably grumpy because I'm just so focused and it's like...
It's all that matters. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. Like I said at the start, I really admire your mentality when it comes to the training and it's something that, like, when I'm training... And I'm like, oh, I feel fucking a bit tired. And then I look over, I see Chrissy, and I'm like, oh, fuck. All right, then. And it's sort of like...
right, get into it.
Yeah, it sort of like motivates me to get into it. And I know everyone at the gym sort of like looks up to you so much. So, yeah, you're a big inspiration for a lot of people. Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much.
Cheers.